Just when I thought jiu-jitsu couldn't get any more awkward or uncomfortable. Do you know jiu-jitsu well enough to teach it? Welcome to Beauty and the Gi. I'm Jen Eads, a one-stripe blue belt full of curiosity and so many questions about jiu-jitsu.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
If you are new to the podcast, welcome. We made you a starter pack with some of our favorite episodes. There's a link to it in the show notes. You can find it. I mean, we made a playlist in Spotify. We are just that together and excited about this starter pack playlist. Or click the link in the show notes and find us there. And if you're listening in Spotify and you enjoy the podcast, it's really easy to scroll down your screen just a little bit and hit the star button and leave us a 5-star review. We would love that. We would appreciate that so much.
Yeah, we would.
Okay, now on to the big burning question. Do you know jiu-jitsu well enough to teach it?
I think I do.
I'm going to say yes for you.
Oh, okay. This is a question that's for you.
That was more like a rhetorical question. Yes. Like, do we think Jen really knows jiu-jitsu well enough to teach it? And if she did, would she be confident enough in herself that she could do it? Which I think is the bigger question, really.
Yes. And then sometimes you're just not given a choice.
There's that. So picture it. I feel like the Golden Girls. I walk into class. Was it Monday or Wednesday?
9 a.m. on a Monday.
9 a.m. on a Monday. Ready to see my friends, to learn some stuff, to get some rounds in. And then what happened?
Your coach walks in pretty much in tears. Could not hardly move. I hurt my neck pretty bad over that weekend. And that Monday was the worst of it. Like, it was very, very bad. One of those where, like, every time I would move at all, it was like taking my breath away, you know, like that, like, you know, like, I couldn't even like sit on the toilet. It hurt so bad. It's so true. It was awful. And so there was no way I could teach jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to like stay upright while class was happening. So I basically was just like, here's a code, get the key out of the door, teach whatever you want. I don't care. I can't care. I gotta go.
And I was like, okay.
I was like, you're in charge. Best of luck to you. It's one day they'll never remember anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was fun.
So what did you end up teaching?
I believe what you told me to teach was just breaking closed guard.
Yeah.
And so that is what we worked on. I won't even say what I taught. The really nice thing, though, is that Jennifer, my primary training partner, was here, and we just kind of tag-teamed the whole thing, which was great.
She was pulling in the parking lot as I was pulling out, and she was, like, looking, like, what is happening? And I just text her. I was like, I'm okay. Jen's in charge today. Help her out. You guys will figure it out. It's fine.
And we did. It was great. What was frustrating for me, though, is that I had just switched notebooks. Because remember in the previous episode, you were talking about like color coding the book to your notebook to your belt.
Yeah.
So I just got this brand new blue notebook, and that's the notebook that was in my bag.
Yeah.
Not my notebook with
all of your jiu-jitsu experience.
All of my jiu-jitsu experience. No, that just stayed home.
So you fully had to go off of your brain.
Yeah, which is funny because I have no problem. Like, I teach podcasting. I taught guitar and instruments at Girls Rock Camp. I have no problem being in front of a crowd, being on a stage, teaching the things that I know and that I'm confident in teaching. But if you ask me to teach jiu-jitsu, panic. Complete panic.
I mean, I assume it went fine, though, right?
Well, so some things did go right, like warm-ups. Nailed it.
Nailed the warm-ups.
Nailed
Fantastic.
The warm-ups. Had a good playlist.
Good. Yeah.
Do you know what would have been really helpful?
What?
And we are going to work on this at some point. If I knew how to work the stupid clock.
Okay. Yeah, I can see where that would be helpful.
So yeah, when we have an opportunity to work on things, it's like, oh yeah, learn how to work the
clock. Teach you how to use the clock.
Teach you how to use the clock. That would have come in handy for drilling. But Jennifer, like, she just pressed enough buttons that she figured it out.
Good.
She's so resourceful. That's a good training partner right there.
Yes. Balance.
Exactly. So yeah, when I think about what went right, warm-ups, good playlist. What needs work? How does the clock work? And then really just confidence in, do I really know this? It was funny. I was having flashbacks to college. I took this music theory class and the teacher was like, you will know all of these pieces intimately, like break it down. It doesn't matter where you are in the song. You're going to be able to know exactly what is happening. And I was like, oh, I kind of really need to know jujitsu that way, don't I? Because I had another teacher that said, your muscle memory will fail you.
Yeah.
And if we've talked about that before, like when you get tired, it's like, you've like really got to know it. And especially I feel like being called upon to go actually teach it, I was like, oh man, you think you know things. Yep. And then you're like, no, not so much. You're like,
but would I tell somebody else to do this?
Right.
And just like, sometimes your body knows to do things, but like using the words to say what you're doing can be hard. You're showing the move and you're like, I didn't say that, but I did do that. So like, and it's fine to recognize that people are missing stuff. Mm-hmm. After you've taught a move, like there'll be a lot of times where I'm teaching something and I'll notice multiple people getting the same thing wrong. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, back to the line, let me clean this up. This was my fault. I should have, drove this part home, whatever, but I didn't say it enough or didn't say it at all. You know, like just a detail that I forgot to add. And so I'll put them back on the wall and I'll teach it again and I'll emphasize that point. And we try again.
I'm so glad that you do that because then it really sticks it in my head because I'm sure I'm one of the people that's always missing it anyway. So I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. And it's helpful just to like, you watch the move and you think you don't have any questions and then you go try it with your body and you're like, actually, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. So sometimes it's helpful to like go back to the wall and kind of go over the same thing with a little more detail and then try it again.
Jennifer was really good with the details.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good partners.
Oh man, I'm so thankful she was there.
So what I would recommend, and I would recommend this for everyone, is to have one class that you feel very confident in to teach. Years ago, my kind of go-to was the ashi with the sweep and the footlock. Mm-hmm. And so if I was just out cross-training somewhere at another school or whatever, and somebody was like, hey, you want to teach? I'll be like, yep, that's what I'm teaching. You know, like, yeah. It was like my go-to. It then like kind of transferred to loop chokes for a while. Like anybody was like, hey, can you teach? I'm like, yep, I'm doing loop chokes. Now, obviously, I can teach a lot of things. But, you know, like... Coach Chris, our coach here, one of our coaches, triangles. That was his thing. If you were like, hey, can you cover class? You better believe he's teaching triangles. You know, he has more knowledge than that, but that's what he's comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be his go-to. You know, like Mariah could teach spider every time.
Yeah.
She could teach breaking her spider too. You know, like your game and your counter game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But just kind of knowing what that is, knowing what, like, this is the thing I know I'm good at and I can teach to anybody.
So now I just had to figure out what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, just think about what you really enjoy doing. Like for you, it could be the mousetrap from half guard, from top half, like something like that where you're like, I like this. I understand the concepts and I feel like I could say the words to make this happen.
One of the hardest things for me is being able to actually find the words and simplify it, and most of us had done that guard break before. So it's not like I was teaching something brand new to brand new people that I was like, I didn't have the added pressure of like, oh my God, this is their first class. I don't want to screw up their jujitsu for the rest of their entire lives.
Here's the thing though, too. I understand
totally what would have happened.
I know. I understand that Joe Pesci is telling you that's what would happen. but like the reality is they're so new. Like if that were to be what happened is that they're so new, they're not going to remember anyway.
True.
You know, like they're honestly not. They're going to try it. They're not going to have any real muscle memory in with it. And they're going to learn it again at another point. So it's okay. And it's okay to have taught it and then, you know, Wednesday come back and be like, you know what? I told you to do this. I looked back at my notes and that might not be exactly right. Maybe put your hand here instead or something. Like, be transparent. The worst type of coach to me, well, you know, one of the worst types of coaches are the ones that act like they know everything and don't. Yeah. So like, you know, you're asking a question like, oh yeah, this is what I do. And you're like, you've never done that a day in your life, you know, mm-hmm. like, and they're like, well, I don't do it myself, but like, that's what I think would, yeah. you know, like be humble about it, be yeah. willing to say, all right, actually that's not the best way to do it. Maybe try this.
And I did survive.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. So before the next podcast, mm-hmm. I want you to just think about what that class would be. Even if I were here and I was like, all right, Jen, you're teaching today. What's it going to be?
Okay. Oh, God, so, I have homework.
You have homework.
Okay. I'm up for the challenge.
I would love to hear from you guys, too. Like, message us on Instagram and let us know, like, if you had one class you were going to teach, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. I totally want to read all of those.
We should do it as, like, a ask us anything kind of thing, but, like, with that question, uh-huh. so we can share all of the answers.
Okay.
They'll be shared anonymously, so.
Yeah. We'll make an Instagram
story about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. I just have to remember to do it on the day yeah, the podcast comes out.
It's fine.
Out.
When it comes yeah. out, I'll help you remember.
Okay, good. I love that.
Couple things that I just like to, that I like to do when I'm teaching or like to teach people about teaching, okay? So these are just like little teaching points, I guess. I like people on the line better than in a circle because then I can dictate what they're seeing, mm-hmm. right? When it's in a circle, I feel like I constantly have to rotate and I'm never sure if they're seeing the details they need to see. Yeah. So personal preference, I like people on the line. Obviously be loud. Be loud enough for them to be able to hear you. Always see if they have questions and be willing to figure out the answer. So like sometimes I'll get a question that's like, could I do this? And I'll be like, well, I don't know, let's try it. And I'm like, actually, no, I wouldn't do that because then this could happen.
Yeah.
Right. And then always some sort of reset. So like we do the 1, 2, 3 clap. Mm-hmm. And there's so many variations of that. But I like that reset of like, okay, now we get off the wall and we go do the move. Those are just a couple little things to do.
That's good to know. I didn't know that actually served a purpose.
Yeah. It's your reset. It's your cue to like, okay, now we change what's happening.
Okay. Good to know. I mean, we did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because we do it. Exactly.
But now you know why. Because otherwise, when I'm like, okay, give it a try, everyone just sits and stares. I mean,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
Like they're just like start now or.
Yeah. Do what?
And then 1, 2, 3 is like, okay, now we move. We change what we're doing. We go from learning to doing.
Well, I know that you actually got to teach this past weekend at Girls Gone Gee.
I so did.
How was that?
It was great. Now, I would like to point out I was still in a lot of pain.
Oh, yes.
Neck still injured. So I didn't really get to participate in Girls Gone Gee. I mean, I took notes mm-hmm. and I walked around and helped people and everything when I wasn't teaching. Well, I mean, I did when I was teaching as well, but walked around and helped people and stuff like that. But I didn't really get to drill and I certainly didn't get to roll. And that was hard for me. But one, I'd say it was my favorite Girls Gone Gee ever.
And you've been to a lot. Yes.
So there have been 9 and I attended 8 of them. So I did miss one of them. One of the, I think, more early on ones, but I did get to attend most of them.
Why was this your favorite?
I don't know. One, I always really like Rachel's instruction. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. The people were all just amazing this year. Not that they're not always, but it just felt, I don't know, part of it felt more bonded this year. And I think that comes from a lot of different things. One, it comes from we had a lot of the Costa Rica people there. So we have this tight-knit group.
Nice.
And then a lot of the women there were from Role Model Camp. So it's like, it's just a good group of people. It was really nice. And then it was my first time to teach.
Oh, right.
So I teach seminars all over the place and I teach every day at our academy. But Ray and Rachel's school, I've always been a student. You know, it's not like I'm there to like teach a class or anything like that. So it just was really cool to get to be the instructor for nice. One of the sessions. So I really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, it was a great weekend. Rachel did say that it is her last one. You know, we're open to see if that's true or not.
She made Tom Brady us.
She made Tom Brady, yes. Yeah. Or like, you know, every band that's ever done their final farewell,
right.
farewell
Mike
tour.
Scherer.
Yeah. Everyone could be the last one. Like, you don't right. know. And that's true. You know, like, you that is true for like everything. Yeah. Like, yeah. it could be the last one. You never know when you're going to get another chance. And I really think, if nothing else, 2020 should have shown us that. You
right.
know, like, the things that we take for granted could be taken away from us at any
right.
time. But it is exhausting for her. It was really, you know, a lot for her. So at the end of the weekend, she did say, you know, guys, this is it. This is my last one. And there were some tears. There were definitely some tears through that. It was very emotional. But I think that we just be very thankful for the time that we had together.
Yeah.
And if we get to have another, that's a bonus, but we don't expect it. It also did solidify for some people that, like, they have to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So we did Costa Rica this last year, and we weren't going to do it again in 23.
Mm-hmm.
No need to do it back to back. We had a great time, but we didn't think we'd do it again next year. And Rachel really wanted to. And honestly, I'm going to do whatever she wants.
Yep.
For as long as she can tell me what she wants.
Yeah.
It's why I did Master Worlds. It's, I mean, I just want to participate in her life while she's wanting to.
Yeah, so, yeah, that totally makes sense.
So yeah, so we decided we'd do Costa Rica again for her. And after she cried on Sunday, I think it was Amy Dillon that was like, did you tell Rachel to cry? Because now I have to go to Costa Rica. And I was like, no, I certainly did not. But yes, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to be there because you just don't know. And it'll just be a really nice time to get to spend some time with Rachel. There's going to be so much fun. There's like a catamaran boat thing, and which is like 4 hours, and the food and drink is included.
Ooh.
And then there was snorkeling, which was so much
Ooh.
Fun.
Ooh.
And you like get back to the beach right around sunset, which was really nice.
Stop talking.
The head jiu-jitsu instructor at Hero is also a surf instructor.
Stop talking.
So he'll teach some surf lessons. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. All the things.
Plus all the cool wildlife, like iguanas all over the place and monkeys all over the place. And it was just, the wildlife was so cool. We named all of them, by the way. That's
well,
who we are as people.
Well, you have to.
Yep.
Yeah.
The bird blueberry was my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think he followed us everywhere.
Nice.
Could have been the same type of bird that was a different guy, but I'm not claiming that. His name
bird.
Was Blueberry.
Yes. I'm 100% with
yes.
you on all of that. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great time. I'm very excited to get to go again, for sure.
Yay. And if you are thinking about going or want to get information, we will have a link to that.
In the show notes.
That's right.
She's so good.
That's my job. Okay, so let's say you can't make it to Costa Rica, but there's still Indie Base Camp. So is registration open for that yet?
It is. And just because you go to Costa Rica doesn't mean you can't also do Indie Base Camp.
No.
But yeah, registration is open for Indie Base Camp. We have not announced the instructors yet, but we will. I think most people know the event that we put out, and they know they want to attend no matter who the instructor is. So with that said, it is number 10 for us. Not our 10th year. It's our 10th camp. I'm very specific about that because I also want to be able to celebrate the 10th year. That's who I am as a person. But yeah, it'll be our 10th camp, and it will be our biggest and best.
I
yet.
Can't wait. I don't even care who teaches.
Yeah.
I just want to go hang out with my friends.
Yep. I mean, I really think that's how most people are. They're just like, I don't care who the instructors are necessarily. They know that they're going to learn some jiu-jitsu, but learning jiu-jitsu isn't the primary factor in it. It's the
right.
relationships that you build. I had such a good compliment. A woman told me that like in that weekend, she was able to bond so strongly with people that she will be lifetime friends with. And the only other thing in her life that she's bonded that much with people was grad school. So something you spend years doing, she was able to accomplish in a weekend.
Wow.
Just because of the culture, the environment, all of it.
Nice.
And so I just thought that was such a cool compliment that she said, you know, that she just felt bonded to people so much from a 3-day event.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. I can't
Absolutely.
Wait. Okay. On and off the mat tips for this week.
I think the, do we call it on or off the mat? I think our off the mat tip is to prepare to be able to teach on the mat.
I like it.
So have something prepared that if ever at the drop of the hat, your instructor was like, hey, can you teach a class? You would be ready to go.
Yeah. I really like how you just made the one work for on and off the mat.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that goes, but that really does apply for a lot of things off the mat too. Like, what opportunity do you want? If you actually got that opportunity, would you be prepared to seize it and
yeah.
capitalize on it?
So, yeah.
Look at you dropping all the black belt wisdom today.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. Come find us on Instagram if you have not already. We are hanging out there at Beauty and the Geek Podcast. And I'm also there at Brassy Broad Jen. And I'm on the TikTok too.
And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go. And I'm also role model everywhere you go.
And if you're professional and on LinkedIn, you can find me at Jen Eads.
I log into my LinkedIn like once a quarter, every 6 months. So you can find me there, but probably don't message
nothing.
Me.
Yeah. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. And we will see you
on the mat.
Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company
and brought to you by Role Model Grappling.